the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hi there, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Monday's podcast today, we're going to be looking ahead to some action at Ayr, as well as looking back at the best of Saturday's racing. My name is Alex Dunn, and I've been joined in the studio by Lord John Budden. Hi, John.
Hello to you, Alex.
How are you doing?
I'm very happy, very well.
What have you been up to this week? You said that you've been racing twice off Ayr.
Yeah.
Where have you been, and what did you like?
I've been racing at Carlisle and at Musselburgh. Impressed by the riding of a couple of young riders at both meetings. Carlisle was, of course, the ladies' only night. On a general point of view, I'm astonished that other race courses haven't picked up on the Carlisle idea of having a night for lady riders only, professional and amateur, because it produces a big crowd, competitive racing, and it's great to see the lady professionals taking on the amateurs. And, you know, on Monday night it did look as though they were just that little bit of a class above. And I have to say I was very impressed with Lucy Alexander. I thought she rode splendidly at Carlisle. I've been a little bit sort of questionable about her decision to race on the flat. I still think she is, you know, outstanding over jumps, but really good was Lucy Alexander at Carlisle. She rode amenable from the front, dominating tactics, out like a cat out of a scurry hole, and never looked like being beaten. And then rode a most intelligent tactical race on Hot Rod Mama in the big race of the evening. That's a difficult mare, has to be held up, likes to run through beaten horses, and Lucy did it absolutely perfectly. Waited, and then went right through the middle, weaving her way like a snipe through gaps, and put Hot Rod Mama in front on the line. I thought she rode really well. And then, briefly at Musselburgh, a four-horse race for the Amateur Riders Contest finished the card. How Golden Future started at 11-4, I will never know. Peter Niven normally likes to go for a bit of a touch. I had napped Golden Future at Musselburgh the week before, got beaten a length at 12-1. Jamie Hamilton rides Golden Future, has ridden him on both occasions, grandson of Willie Hamilton, who earned that great chaser Earl's Brig, and he's a really good prospect in my view, Alex. He rode Golden Future beautifully from the front, just keeping enough petrol in the tank, and when the others came with token challenges approaching the last furlong, Jamie just had plenty in hand and pushed the horse clear. I think he's a real prospect, Jamie Hamilton, and he's going to stay amateur, I gather, for the next main National Hunt season. And if people can get on for him to be champion amateur at a reasonable price, do so now.
He certainly is a good jockey. I'll tell you why Golden Future went off at 11-4. It's because there is a new jockey, Alex Ferguson, who has obviously, with his name, has created a bit of a buzz. But he's also a fine jockey, and I think on that occasion, I think he was riding Gucci Doro for the Simcock Yard, who was going for the hat-trick. And I just think everyone just got a bit caught up in it, and it went off far too short a price. I was with you. I think Jamie Hamilton is a fine jockey, and I was very surprised to see the price of Golden Future. But no, he's certainly one to keep an eye on. And going back to Lucy Alexander, obviously that Carlisle card, I completely agree with what you say. It is a great spectacle for the women. How long has that been going on now at Carlisle?
Well, it must be the third or fourth year. It's called the Ultimate Ladies' Night. The only really top lady jockey who's never been there is Hayley Turner. And, of course, she'd broken her ankle this time. But it really is, combined with a live concert. It was some Ronan Keating. That's right, Ronan Keating on Monday night. And, it was a great evening, and it's It's very impressive to see these professional ladies. One other very quick thing on that. Kirsty Milzerak not only rode a very good winner on Come Here You, but she put up the most tremendous lady horseman's display on Lady Chaparral, who didn't want to go out of the paddock at all and was rearing and jumping about all over the place. But Kirsty stayed absolutely solid in the saddle, and she got the filly out onto the course. She didn't win Lady Chaparral, but it was a fine bit of horsemanship, I thought, by Kirsty.
Certainly. OK, then, well, we'll go from an all-women's card at Carlisle to another time when the women have, well, we won't say prospered, because they finished last in the Shergar Cup, but they certainly weren't disgraced by any means. Europe landed the Shergar Cup yesterday at Ascot. They got 97 points. Great Britain and Ireland on 61. Rest of the world on 46. The girls on 40. The silver saddle for individual jockeys, that went to Gerald Mosse with 46. Percy, did you watch the action, John? And what did you make of it?
I did watch the action, and I think the organisers have got it absolutely right now, Alex. Sadly, it might even be too late, because it's, you know, been very controversial sort of model of race programme, the Shergar Cup. Over the years, it's been in action. And in the past, there's always been what I call a extreme, exaggerated focus on the jockeys themselves. Now, clearly, it's a great occasion where you get jockeys, both female and male, from all round the world riding, many of them really top-class riders from their countries. That's a fine occasion. But yesterday, I was delighted to see that there was more emphasis on the horses. Very good commentary, of course, by Simon Holt, but it was basically horses and then who was riding them, if possible, at the same time, but not, you know, all the time, this is Europe against the rest of the world, and the girls are coming from behind. There was much more emphasis on the horses running. The prize money is extremely good. Mm. And Mark Johnson, I think I'm right in saying, had the first 1, 2, 3 twice during the afternoon. He looked in tremendous form, not the, understandably so, because he was really collecting a lot of money for his owners. I think more British trainers should get in on this early on. But I was pleased with it. It was an exciting contest, good racing, and lovely to see these jockeys from different countries in action. I entirely agreed with the judges. Joe Mercer was one of them, and John Reed the other, I think. Gerard Mosse, I thought, was outstanding on Royal Skies. He really gave that horse a super ride. I watched him carefully throughout. He had Royal Skies beautifully placed, beautifully balanced, never went for the stick at all, just linked and then pushed him out from the home straight. And of course he was a Mark Johnston horse who goes all the time, but it was a fine bit of riding there, Gerard Mosse, and it was great to see Gary Stevens getting up in the last stride of the final race. Yeah, I liked the Shergar Cup, and let's hope, you know, it's not going to die a death.
Hopefully, yeah, it is. It's something different, just like the race at Carlisle, I suppose. Something a bit different, something you can get your teeth stuck into, and just makes a bit of a change, really, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
OK, we'll move on to one last thing before we look ahead to some of Monday's action at Ayr. Telescope yesterday ran in the big race at Haydock. A lot was expected, obviously, and it didn't really deliver, did it?
Looks hyped up, doesn't it, Alex? Telescope? Hyped up, I fear, as a really top-grade Group 1 horse. Decent animal, no question about that. I mean, you know, won that little sort of Mickey Mouse race at Leicester very, very confidently from a wide margin. Since then, the pundits at Newmarket have more or less implied that Telescope, you know, is right back to the type of form which had won in the Derby. Well, he had to be counted very disappointing at Haydock. Had every chance. Ryan Moore brought him through to challenge about 2 furlongs out, couldn't quicken, and you know, quite frankly, he's going to have to improve enormously if he's going to become a Group 1 horse.
I did a podcast with Dave Kellner after the run at Leicester, and he asked me what I thought of Telescope. And at Leicester, it was such a tricky race to call, because it didn't really beat anything. He didn't have to do much, and granted, it looked very impressive, but The thing that came out of that was all of the people who do speed figures saying, well, the figures were good. It should add up. And I was very wary. And I wanted it to win yesterday purely because I wanted another bus horse, if you like. You know, something that we can thrive off. But I couldn't have taken the price. And it did run pretty flat. I mean, we'll have to see where it goes next, what the plan is for it. But fingers crossed it can bounce back next time. Anyway, we will move on to some racing on Monday, because we've waffled a bit there, John. We've had a good old chat, haven't we? A good natter. We'll start with a 3:30 at Ayr, then, on Monday. It's a mile race over 10 furlongs. It's a mile race over 10 furlongs? That doesn't make sense. It's a mile race, and 10 of them are down to go to post. There's a few in here that they're winning their turn, shall we say. We've got Conor Zur, who's chasing the hat-trick. Silver Rhyme, who has been in the placings for the last four starts. Horses like Tufan Express comes over from Ireland. Mua Jesus, one from Mark Johnston, who looks unexposed and could go well. A reasonably open race, John. What do you fancy?
Yes, very open race. I fear one, and that is the Irish raider Tufan Express. I just, you know, can't correlate the form all that well with this contest here at Ayr. Wouldn't surprise me to see that one go very close. Just running through the ones you've mentioned, Silver Rhyme, one of the most popular horses on the Scottish circuit, owned by Ken McGarrity from Nairn's Oatcakes, and lots of horses with Linda Perrott. Carries condition. I love horses who carry condition. Looks always very plump, but has been running really quite well. I just think he'd probably be a bit outpaced here, Silver Rhyme. Possibly done his winning. Tectonic I wouldn't touch. I think his attitude is to be questioned, although he constantly gets in the frame. If you want a place pot horse, then it is Tectonic. Of the others, well, to me, it is Conor Zur's race to win or lose. Certainly, Conor Zur's got every chance. The horse I like, actually, Alex, I thought ran very well from the front to score at Haydock, having before that only just been beaten at Beverley at 11-1. Made all at Haydock, came to Musselburgh. I thought to myself, he won't be allowed to have his own way. He's drawn poorly. Something's going to come and get him at Musselburgh, but they never did. Conor Zur leapt out of the stalls, made every yard of the running. Now, it's a mile race tomorrow, and the home bend at Ayr comes up very quickly, and if you're drawn on the outside, it's a Coffin Park draw, and I just feel that draw three is ideal for Conor Zur. I think he'll come out really quickly for Jamie Sullivan, and quite frankly I can't see anything which is going to take him on. The ground looks to be reasonably good, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Conor Zur complete the hat-trick.
OK, then Conor Zur for Ruth Carr and James Sullivan for John in the 3:30. The second race that we'll look at is the 4 o'clock. It is a handicap over 6 furlongs, and there are 11 runners down to go to post. We'll start with Little Jimmy Oddsocks, who won last time out for Tim Easterby. Duran Fentiman takes the ride, and surely has claims here.
Has got claims, yes. Two seasons ago, Little Jimmy Oddsocks was meant to be really quite a decent handicapper in the making for the Easterbys. Didn't run up to scratch last year. For a long time, didn't do so this summer. I fancied him at Redcar last time out. He ran an interesting sort of race in that he was prominent and for the first two or three furlongs, then dropped away for a bit, hit a flat spot before coming strongly up the stands rails. Yes, he's got to have quite a decent chance, but I still think he's a little bit on the quirky side, Alex.
No, he certainly is. I think if he could put his all in on every occasion, then he'd be winning this no problem at all. But he's now obviously gone up in the handicap, and I think it may be worth opposing him. In what looks a pretty hot race, we've got other horses who've been running well recently in Jeannie Galloway and Go-Go Green. The Salvatore Fury down towards the bottom, who's holding his form particularly well, and there's also one at the top that I know that you like, John, in Roker Park, who obviously has the back class, is now dropped into the 0-75, and even on current form would have a chance.
Yes. You mentioned Go-Go Green. That's a danger, always a dangerous when you have Jim Goldie in action, that his home course. I was with Jeannie Galloway. I have been with Jeannie Galloway for some while, though. Keith Dalglish is gradually getting the filly back to top form, but I just feel she doesn't have a distance. She used to be run over 7 furlongs when with Richard Farhi. Sometimes runs over 7 for Keith, sometimes over 6. Back over 6 this time. Decent second last time out. Has to go well. But yes, you've mentioned Roker Park. I have to go for Roker Park. David O'Meara, of course, the man with the magic wand, continues to just shell out winners. This horse has been a terrible disappointment since winning, I think, the Scottish William Hill sprint at Hamilton about 2 seasons ago. The handicapper got hold of him, had a poor run last year, looked in pretty grim action earlier in the season. But you're right, Alex, the last 2 outings have been much better, placed on each occasion. I don't think the racecourse suited him last time out. I fancy that was at Catterick, where he finished 4th, and I think Air will be a great deal better. Julie Burt taking 3 off, it has to be Roker Park for me.
Roker Park, who's dropped to a particularly low mark. Julie Burt takes the £3 off, means that Roker Park is effectively running off 71. Without a win now for nearly 2 years, but 2 years ago was rated 90 and was running in Class 2 events at the likes of York. This surely would be easier. The last race that we'll look at is the 5 o'clock at Ayr. And this looks a good race, John. We've got horses like Awake My Soul, Ginger Jack, Spirit of the Law, Kashmir Peak, who all have really solid form to go off.
Yes, interesting move by Ayr. They tend to do this, put the best races near the end of the programme to make certain that the interest lasts. A very good race indeed. You've mentioned, most of the major contenders. There's a question mark horse too here called Fort Belvedere, who's got a bit of form in the past and will surely win a race for Keith Dalglish before too long.
And he's ridden by who, John? Wilson Rennick on the flat.
Well, that's interesting. That there was a race at Musselburgh on Friday with 4 jump jockeys in it, one of whom, Dougie Costello, got up at 3 o'clock to drive up to Ayr from Lambourne. Alas, he didn't win. But Mick O'Connell had a double at Musselburgh. Yeah, Wilson Rennick, very interesting. I don't think Fort Belvedere is good enough to win this race. The two that look to have outstanding chances are Kashmir Peak for John Quinn and Mick O'Connell. I thought Kashmir Peak was a bit unlucky at Chester last time out. First time out for a long time on the flat. Just caught by Xenophire in the closing stages. A horse who had gone well at Haydock, beating Merchant of Dubai on the previous outing. So that was by no means a disgrace. Kashmir Peak will have a major chance here, but I have to go for Ginger Jack. Ginger Jack is one of those horses that I follow through thick and thin, Alex. And it's been really on the reasonable thick side this season. Very good win at Ripon 2 outings ago. And I just mentioned the last race. Here at Ayr, he was quietly fancied. The winner was Senokian Star. And let's think what he's done since. Only just beaten in a very high-class handicap at Haydock on Saturday. Able Master was second. We then had Suits Me in third place and Dubai Dynamo in fourth. And Ginger Jack at close-up fifth. Never quite able to have the run of that race. I think there will be a stronger pace today, or a strong pace, and Ginger Jack will be held up for a late run. And I strongly believe, with Paul Mulrennan in the saddle, that Ginger Jack's got an outstanding chance.
PJ McDonald is right.
PJ McDonald. I thought it was Paul Mulrennan. Well, PJ McDonald, great Ayr champion, of course. Hot Weld, winner of the Scottish National. So, PJ McDonald.
No, PJ McDonald does ride Ayr especially well. Paul Mulrennan, obviously, in form, but I wouldn't say that as any change to any bet you were going to put on. PJ McDonald does ride Ayr well. And Ginger Jack has had 2 runs at the course and 1 victory. Of course, the other one was last time. Being behind Sanocki and Star is certainly nothing to be ashamed of, is it?
No, it was a good race, and Ginger Jack is a good horse when he's on his song. It wasn't quite able to pick up last time out. Funny, I just sort of, I had a quick look at jockeys and thought it was P. Mulrennan. He was riding my Sunday nap.
Ah, I see. Obviously, this is recorded before Sunday's action, so we won't delve into that, but I'm sure you've already heard that, and fingers crossed it's won for you, John. OK, then, so that concludes the action. If you could just sum up your three picks there, John, in the 3:30, the 4 and the 5 o'clock.
Yes, in the 3:30 we're on Connoisseur to make every yard of the one running. In the 4 o'clock, which is quite an interesting sprint, it's Roker Park. And probably what is likely to be the nap in the 5 o'clock is Ginger Jack.
OK, great stuff, John. Enjoy the action and good luck with those selections.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.